you, Lord. Let us pray.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Holy is your name.
Holy is your name. Holy is your name.
Hallelujah,
holy is your name, holy is your name, holy is your name, oh Lord.
Jesus is your name,
Jesus is your name. Jesus is your name. Jesus is your name. Oh Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh,
Jesus is your name. Jesus is your name. Jesus is your name.
Almighty God, we just want to bless your holy name. We thank you very, very much for all you have done for your children thus far. We thank you in advance for what you will begin to do for them from today. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Almighty God, we are committing your children to your hands afresh. In every area of their lives, beginning from today, show yourself mighty. Whatever may be their individual problems, Father, solve the problems today. If there be anything at all in their lives that is not allowing their joy to be full, Father, remove it today. Let this day mark a new turning point for the better in all their lives. Bless them, O Lord. Support them. Take care of their families. And Lord God Almighty, give them the grace to serve you to the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Well, let someone shout hallelujah.
Well, please shake hands with one or two people and say good afternoon. God bless you afresh. And then you may please be seated. Let me start by saying, Your Excellencies, my sisters, and my daughters, God bless you all. I believe that will cover everybody. It's a great privilege to be asked to come and speak in such a gathering like this. I can almost say that my legs are shaking, asking a pastor to come and stand before so many eminent personalities. But I've been asked to come and share very briefly on the theme of your gathering, which is that the government is of the Lord. And I will be talking for a few minutes from Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. It says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up power over it the basest of men. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Some years ago, when I was studying Psalm 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I spent quite some time studying the Most High. And I discovered, because I happen to be a mathematician, and the success of a mathematician depends on attention to words. Most High means higher than the highest, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. And I remember telling a story about some children who are praying or playing at Aso Rock. It's not a true story, it's just a parable. And you know, when boys gather together, they love to boast about their fathers. And the son of the president said, sorry, sir, once I'm preaching, no pictures. Don't distract my attention. God bless you, sir. He said, of course, my father is the greatest. He said, why? My father is the head of state. He's the number one person here. And then the second one said, oh, but my father is higher than your father. And the first one said, what do you mean? He said, my father is your father's physician. If he asks your father to stay in bed for 1 week, he must obey. And the third one said, but my father is greater than your father. And he said, how come? He said, my father is your father's herbalist. He can kill your fathers without using a gun. And then the fourth one, who happens to be the son of a messenger in the palace there, said, but my father is higher than all your fathers. And they all looked at him. They said, you? And he said, how can you say your father is higher than all our fathers? He said, because not only can my father kill, he can make a life. And they said, but we know your father. He said, no, I'm not talking of the messenger. I'm talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Most High. There is someone higher than the highest. The Bible made it clear, according to Psalm 75 from verse 6 to 7, Psalm 75 verse 6 to 7, that promotion comes only from God. Not from the east, not from the west, not from the south, but from God. And according to Psalm 115 verse 3, Psalm 115 verse 3, our God is in the heavens, he does as he pleases. Whatever happens is happening because God is involved. Someone said that when some soldiers try to stage a coup, if they succeed, they become heroes. If they fail, they become rebels. same people doing the same thing, and the result will determine whether you call them rebels or you call them heroes. And there is always an unseen force behind it all. An unseen force. So, according to 1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 7 to 8, 1 Samuel 2 verse 7 to 8, it is this God who decides to raise up one and put down another. He is the one who can pick up a beggar from the dunghill and keep on promoting him or her until he's seated with princes. It is this God who is called the judge of the whole universe. When we are talking about Supreme Court, there is a court that is supreme to supreme. And Genesis 18 verse 25, Genesis 18 verse 25 calls our God the judge of the whole world. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 11 to 18, Deuteronomy 8 verse 11 to 18 is the one who gives us the power to get wealth. So if you're a business tycoon, he's the one behind the scene. If you are very high up in the judiciary, he's the one behind the scene. If you are very high up in government, he's the one behind the scene. But then the question comes, why does he promote people? What is the purpose for promotion, whether in business or in government or in academics or in any other area of life? When we go through the scriptures, we find that he promotes people for different reasons. For example, in Genesis chapter 50 from verse 18 to 22, Genesis 50, verse 18 to 20. Joseph said, "The reason I have been promoted is to save many people alive." In other words, God saw ahead that there was trouble coming, and he decided long before the trouble came to raise up a young man who will be in charge and he will save the world from perishing. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6 to 12, Exodus 3, verse 6 to 12, he raised up Moses to lead his people out of bondage. Maybe there are some people who are suffering, and the Almighty God is looking for someone who will become a deliverer. He could raise up a judge who cannot be bribed, so that poor people will find justice, or raise up someone who had looked at the people of his state and said, "Oh God, something should be done. These people are perishing." And God could raise the fellow up, and the fellow could become a governor. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, Joshua 1, verse 1 to 6, why he raised up Moses to lead the people out of bondage, he raised up Joshua to take the people into the promised land. So, different people, different purposes for promotion. And then incidentally, we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, 1 Samuel 15, verse 1 to 3, that God raised up King Saul to avenge the enemies of God. Because in Exodus 17, verse 8 to 13, Exodus 17, verse 8 to 13, when the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land, a group of people rose up knowing that they were weak, they were unequipped, and they had haven't learned to defend themselves. They came and attacked the children of Israel, even though God gave them victory. He promised them, one day I will revenge what these people have done to my people. So after a long while, the people got a king, and God said, "Haha, now it is turn, it's your turn, you king, to lead my people to revenge against those who tried to destroy them." Various promotions for various reasons. However, the scripture shows that God could raise up someone to demonstrate to those who are coming behind that is actually the Almighty. For example, in Romans chapter 9, verse 17, Romans 9, verse 17, the Almighty God said in his word that he raised up Pharaoh so that when he drowns him, the world will know that there is somebody who is actually the Most High. You know, the Yorubas have a proverb. They said, if a cockroach falls, nobody hears the sound. If an ant falls, the ground doesn't shake. But if an elephant falls, the tremor will be felt, not only in the bush, it will be felt even in the hut, in the village. So at times, God will raise up someone so that when he decides to destroy that fellow, everybody will wake up and know it is God who actually rules in the affairs of men. That brings us to the big question. Why is it that God has decided to promote me? Why has he decided to raise me up? Is it for good? Or that I might become a lesson to those who are coming behind? Because when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 26 to 29, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 29, the Bible says that God deliberately chooses those who are not, humanly speaking, significant. Weak people, people who are not extremely intelligent, people who might not normally be of noble birth, and we just raise them up to silence those who think they are someone, so that no flesh will be able to glory before God. So like I've always told my colleagues in ministry, if you end up, for example, as a general overseer, the first thing you should understand is that God has chosen you because you are foolish, you are weak, you are not important at all, so that you will constantly remember, I am not here because I qualify. And I always give myself as an example. In any way you can look at qualifications, Pastor Adebwe does not qualify to be a general overseer. In any way you can look at qualifications. I mean, if anybody is ever going to become a pastor, it shouldn't be a mathematician. Mathematics says, if you prove it, I will believe it. Christianity says, if you believe it, I will prove it. So we don't meet. But the Almighty God can go and select somebody who is a fool, as far as Christianity is concerned, and said, not only will I make you a pastor, I make you a general overseer. He didn't choose somebody who has Bible college training. I don't know theology. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. What those big people know, that when they are talking about the Bible, the rest of us will be trembling. I don't know any of it. He will choose somebody who does not qualify, so that the fellow will constantly remember, I am what I am by the grace of God. And by his grace alone. Now the problem is, and you have to forgive me if I believe God brought you here so that you hear the truth. And the truth is not always very pleasant. And I believe one of the biggest problems of highly placed people like you is that you don't get people to who will tell you the truth. Everybody wants to say, Your Excellency, whatever you say is right, even if they know that it's wrong. They are afraid to say, because they want to keep their job. So forgive me if the truth is coming anyway. All you have to do is make sure you don't invite me next time. I already got the microphone this time now. Some don't learn easily that government is of the Lord. When we say government here, I hope I've defined it. We're not just talking about politics. We're talking about judiciary. We're talking about business and so on and so forth. It took leprosy to teach Naaman that government is of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 5. You can read the whole story from verse 1 to 19. 2 Kings 5, 1 to 19. The Bible said Naaman was successful in everything. Everything he touched succeeded. He was a successful military man. He was honorable. That was very popular. He was wealthy. Because God used him to give victory. But he didn't realize that. But then, a little problem that he saw that all his military prowess could not solve came. When he came to the land of God, to the man of God, and the man of God said, go and take your bath in River Jordan. He said, me? Does he know who I am? He's a leper, needing help. But he was telling the prophet of God, me? Go and wash in your dirty river. There are better rivers where I come from. A man of God didn't budge. You are the one in need of help. When finally God healed him, he came to the man of God. Hey, sir, please summon it. The man of God said, no. This power was given to me freely. Go, he said, no, I won't go. Give me some soil from here so I can go back home and create an altar and serve the living God. He learned the hard way. Some people learn the hard way. They don't learn easily. And I've told the story before of an in-law of mine. Some of you probably heard the story. Extremely successful. Very, very wealthy. I mean, talk of a king in business. He was a king. And so, because He's a very nice fellow, you know, very nice. And so each time my wife and I visited him, we were always talking to him about giving his life to Jesus, etc., etc. And then one day we visited him and he said to me, "In-law," I said, "Sir," he said, "follow me." So I followed him. And he took me through his mansion. And when you talk of a mansion, we are talking of mansion. And he showed me from one room to the other, one room freezers, one filled with roasted goats, one roasted turkey, one roasted lamb. And he showed me through the house. And I'm telling you, I was impressed. When we came back to the living room, he said to me, "In-law," I said, "Sir." He said, "You have Jesus?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You have all these things?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Go and talk to the poor people. I don't need Jesus." I said, "Yes, sir." Because where I come from, you don't argue with your in-law. 6 months later, at that time I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos, I came back home and I saw somebody in the living room that looked like my in-law. Looked like him. Because all the rosy cheeks had gone in. Everything, it was just a shadow of who he used to be. "In-law," he says to me, "what happened?" 3 people in his working place, in his company, the accountant, the auditor, and I think the typist or whatever, they all agreed together. They got him to sign a check. After he signed, I think it was for 10 million naira or pounds in those days, and they added just 10, and 10 became 100. They cleared the money and fled the country. And of course, when they arrested him, "This is your signature," he said, "No doubt about it, it is mine." Ah, okay. Now, it wasn't just that the company is now almost bankrupt. It's the fact that he was now facing prison terms. That is when he came to me. So I said, "In-law, what do you want me to do?" I said, "I want you to pray." I said, "In whose name?" He said, "In the name of Jesus." "But sir, you say you don't need him." He said, "That was then. This is now." Some people don't learn easily. The power belongs to God. Now, some people, out of God's mercy, have the opportunity to repent. They learn the hard way, but God gives them the opportunity to repent so that instead of perishing completely, God will give a way out. Like where we took our text from in Daniel chapter 4. You can read the whole chapter at your convenience, but you may read it from verse 24 to 37. King Nebuchadnezzar was practically the king of the world in his days. There was no other king like Nebuchadnezzar. Everywhere he went, he conquered. And then God gave him a hint. Trouble is coming. And he ignored the warning of God. But God gave him an opportunity to repent. God just made him mad for 7 years. He woke up one morning as a king, sitting on his throne, and began to boast about his achievements. And God said, "All right, let's show you who is actually in charge." Well, I'm sure you know the story. He became mad for 7 years. After 7 years, his senses came back to him. And God, in his infinite mercy, preserved his kingdom. He was mad for 7 years. But in those days, when Even if you are not mad, people are struggling to take over your government. Nobody touches throne until he repented. Then the Almighty God restored him completely. Some people have the opportunity to repent. And I will tell you another story. I won't mention names, so you won't be able to guess who the fellow was. I was minding my own business when the Almighty God sent me to a governor. Long ago, so you can't guess who. Go and tell this fellow trouble is coming. Ask him to call for a day of prayers in his state so that I can avert the trouble. So I went. And of course, I was an ordinary pastor. He's the governor. He kept me waiting for 4 hours. I couldn't leave because God said I should go and deliver the message. Finally, I saw him. And I delivered the message. He laughed. He said, if I call for a prayer meeting so that law and order will not break down in my state, calling for a prayer meeting will be admitting that law and order has broken down. I said, no, sir. God is saying, do this so that it will not happen. He laughed again. Then he opened his drawer, took some money, and said, take. I said, sorry, sir. I may be an ordinary pastor, but I represent the Most High. I am not here for money. He said, well, sorry about that. So I left. Less than 6 months later, there was trouble in his state. It started in his state that led to a coup. And he was one of the people who ended up in Kirikiri prison. And then one day I saw in the newspapers that somebody was leading Bible study in Kirikiri prison. Because if you don't bow to him when you are on the throne, you may bow to him when you are in prison. Because it is written, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. So some have the opportunity to repent. That, my friend, had the opportunity to repent. And when I saw that, I began to pray for him. And I thank God that we became very good friends when he finally left prison. But some people don't have the opportunity to repent. The moment they discover that the Most High rules, it's always too late for some people. Like in Acts chapter 12, verse 20 to 23. Acts 12. Verse 20 to 23 is about another king called Herod. He has been persecuting Christians, killing them, throwing some to prison, etc., etc. Then one day God decided to show him that he's the Almighty. He was sitting on his throne and he was angry with some people, and those people gathered together and he made a speech to them. And they said, this is not the voice of man. This is the voice of God. And God said, is that so? God said, all right. I will ask some ants, some worms, to show this man that I'm the commander-in-chief of all the hosts, including insects. He fell from his throne to the ground. Before he hit the ground, there was no flesh left in his body. Worms finished him off. Again, I can tell you stories along that, but I don't want to, because that's quite an unpleasant something. And I've seen it happen. But some willingly, voluntarily submit to the Most High God. They voluntarily say, "All right, Lord, you are my boss. You don't have to use force on me. I admit, without you, I can't be where I am. So, you are in charge." A good example is found in 2 Samuel chapter 6, from verse 16 to 22. 2 Samuel 6, from verse 16 to 22. It tells us the story of David. And you know how David came to power? When the man of God came to anoint a king in his father's house, even his father didn't vote for him. The man of God had to say, "Are you sure these are all your boys?" The father said, "If you are looking for a king, check these seven again. There is one more, but it's not the one that you'll be talking about." The father was so reluctant to bring him forward that the man of God said, "We will not sit down until you bring that boy." So he got to the throne. He knew he didn't qualify. He knew it. If we are to believe Bible scholars, he was the son of a concubine. So that's why he wasn't even at home when they were presenting others. So one day, they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant of God into the town, and everybody was dancing. And David danced with all his might. You know, I find something funny, something interesting. I have seen some of my children, the way they dance before power came. But the moment they get to power, I think they have to dance a bit more appropriately. They have, even in their dancing, they have to be politically correct. But David danced so mightily, the wife said, "What's wrong with you? Don't you know you're a king now?" He said to the girl, he said, "Aha. God removed your father. Put me instead. You say, why am I dancing?" He said, "You haven't seen anything yet. I am going to do much more than you have seen done today." Of course, later on, the Almighty God paid him a visit and said, "Son, because we have done this, there will always be somebody in your lineage who will be king." Let me conclude, please. I have discovered from my study of the scriptures that there are two ways to be humble. You can do it on your own. Voluntarily, you can just decide, "I am going to be humble. I don't care what others think of me. I don't care what they say. This is my own choice." 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, "If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will lift you up." He will. But some people learn to be humble via God. And if you ask God to be the one who will humble you, he knows how to do it. only it will not be too pleasant. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, the Bible says, he took the children of Israel round and round and round in the wilderness for 40 years to teach them humility. You can do it voluntarily, or you can ask God to do it for you. I don't know what is your own choice. Some people have challenged me again and again. Why do you say sir to everybody? Ma to everybody? Somebody once said to me, I heard you saying sir even to your driver. I said, number one, you don't even know what my driver will become tomorrow. His driver today. He might be somebody else tomorrow. I said, that's number one. Number two, of course, my driver is not a driver. He's my son. So if I say sir to my son, I'm only saying sir to my future. That's one. Number two, if that driver is the only fellow in the whole world, Jesus will still have come to die for him. If it's that important to God, then who am I? Then number three, in my own case, is that God loves me. He gave me a warning, just like I'm sure he's given to some of us today. Not to forget who's in charge. And I'll tell you one more story, and it will be time to pray. I hope I've not taken too much of your time. Forgive me if I have. We had a program we called Lekki 98. I'm sure some of you will remember. It was a mighty program, the biggest Congress we ever had up to that moment. Practically paralyzed traffic in Lagos for hours. Millions of people came. A lot of souls were saved. And as a pastor, I was overwhelmed. I was glad. Thank you, Jesus. You've done so much for me, through me. Hey, the world was talking about it. CNN covered it to the program. Hey, this boy from an unknown village. So I was walking through this camp in the night. Between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. in the night. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the great thing you have done. But he knows in my heart. Yes, I'm being grateful, but a little bit of pride. You know, pride of success. Everybody had that little problem. It's God who did it, but, you know, through my hard work. You know, suddenly I heard his voice. Son, bend down. And since I was in the jungle here, I didn't know a witch might be flying past. Maybe he's saying, go down. Quickly I bend down. And then he said, draw the figure of a man in the sand. So I drew the figure of a man. Zero for head, a line for the body, lines for the legs. And then he says to me, stand up. I stood up. He said, clean off what you have written or what you have drawn. By now, of course, I was trembling because I know this is not an ordinary visitation. That he's about to teach me a great lesson. So I did. Wiped it off. He said, son, if you ever forget who is in charge, just as you wiped out that drawing, I will wipe you out. And nobody will even remember you ever came to this world. I thank God for making you great. But I believe he has sent me to you this afternoon to say to you, humble yourself. Don't forget who is in charge. This might be a warning that will save some of us from serious trouble. I pray that we won't ignore it. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's talk to the Almighty God and ask for grace, never to forget what we have heard this morning. Let's talk to him and say, Father, just have mercy on me. I know you have been very good to me. I appreciate you. And I'm asking for grace to always remember that you are the one in charge. And in case there is anyone among us who has not really surrendered her life to Jesus Christ, and you want to surrender to him now, you want him to save your soul, you want him to be your Lord, to be your Savior from now on, and you want me to pray for your salvation, if you please raise your hand very quickly, I will pray for you, for God to save your soul. Just in case there is anyone, nobody is watching you now, it's between you and your God. If you want to say, Lord, have mercy on me, save my soul, forgive all my sins, and from now on, I will be yours. I will obey you all the days of my life. If there's anyone like that, if you raise your hand very quickly now, I will pray for you in closing. So talk to the Almighty God. Lord, I am yours. I want to be humble. I want to do your will. I want to keep on remembering that you are the one in charge. Don't let me ever forget that you are the one in charge. And then if you have any specific prayer request, you may want to talk to the Almighty God about it now, so I can put that one in my closing prayers. Lord, I need your help. I need wisdom. I need grace in this particular area of my life and ministry. Talk to him for just 2 more minutes, and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I bless your holy name once again. The Most High, I worship you. I'm asking that today you will visit these your children. You will grant their request. You give them the grace from now to live humbly under the Most High God. I'm praying, Lord God Almighty, that we won't have to use force to make them humble. I'm asking that you will help them so they won't forget what they've just heard this afternoon. And just in case there is any danger ahead of all of them, I pray that the danger be removed in Jesus' name. And I'm praying, Lord God Almighty, that you who brought them thus far, you will help them till the very end. And whatever they have requested for as their special prayer request this afternoon, please, Lord God Almighty, before the sun sets today, turn it to a testimony. Even as they begin to depart, let your presence go with them. Please, Lord, protect them. Build a wall of fire around about them and their families, and keep the enemy far away from them. And as they draw closer and closer to you, Father, move them from glory to glory. Let it be well with them. Let it be well with their husbands. Let it be well with their children. And let them serve you to the very end. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.